Well, happy Sabbath, everyone, again. As we are coming to the end of the year, a lot of times we take this time to kind of reflect on sort of how this year has been for us. We kind of take a look back and reflect and see, you know, the how we use our time, the decisions that we made, where our life is going towards, and that's wonderful. And it is good to every so often to kind of have that kind of reflect. Especially in prayer, so that we make sure that our lives are according to God's will. But I want to encourage you, not so much to look back, but to look forward, to prepare today for tomorrow. I was impressed this week because I have a friend who always talks about his main hobby. Every time you talk to him, that's all he talks about. Once in a while, he'll mention something else. And I was surprised this week, he sent me a text through Messenger. And at first, I was sort of occupied in the moment. I didn't pay much attention. When my wife sent me a text in the same Messenger, I'm like, all right, let me see. I replied to her, but then let me see what he had wrote. And he sent me this picture where it says that, kind of like if God is speaking to you, saying that I'm coming soon and I want you to be prepared, and also share this with 18 of your friends, and so on and so forth. And I was impressed. I'm like, and he says, do this or don't talk to me, he said. And I was kind of thrown back, him sending me something religiously. Always talked about his hobby, never mentioned anything about religion. But it's impressive that, you know, without us realizing, there are many people that are aware that Jesus is coming soon. But it's one thing to know that he's coming soon. Another is that our lives reflect that he is coming soon, and so we are preparing for his soon arrival. And so I want to encourage you, not about making resolutions, because we know they don't work. It's about making the, not so much the commitment, because many times we make the commitment, but our actions don't follow through. It's to make that action of preparing for Christ's return now, today, at this moment, and continue that momentum with the Lord. God has given his people, his church, a message for themselves and for the world, a message to transform all who believe and live according to that message. As part of God's church, what is the purpose of his church? In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, page 9, says the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church should be reflected to the world his fullness and his sufficiency. The members of the church, those whom he has called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, are to show forth his glory. The church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the final and full display of the love of God. So then what is the purpose of the church? It is to live and share the character of God. Because yes, we are to help those who are in need. We are to reach the gospel message to others. But that cannot be done if our hearts are not being transformed. And people can see right through your hypocrisy when you're like, oh, I'm doing this because I have to, as to genuinely doing that because God is resting in your hearts. By living and sharing the character of God, it will make us agents of God to bring salvation to all mankind. God has given us the gospel not just to believe it, but and have faith in his word, but to live it day by day. One of the things that I hear from Catholics as a complaint to Protestant is that we have cheap conversions. Well, as long as you believe in Christ, you get baptized, there you go, you're saved, and you're ready for God's kingdom. They call it cheap conversion. And yes, we are guilty of that. And then it makes it harder on ourselves to make sure that that brother or that sister understands who God is, so they realize what they just made the decision towards. But God wants us to have a full conversion experience in our lives. God's church is to be an example of the Christian experience. So when the world sees God's church, they not only hear who God is through the gospel as we're preaching and sharing the gospel message, but he sees who God is through his people. In Acts of the Apostles, page 12, it says, during ages of spiritual darkness, the church of God has been as a city set on a hill. From age to age, through successive generations, the pure doctrines of heaven have been unfolding with its borders. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object upon which God bestows a special sense, his supreme regard. It is the theater of his grace in which he delights to reveal his power to transform hearts. There are times in looking at when it talks about that ages of spiritual darkness, it always brings me to the dark ages, but it wasn't just around that time. And we're starting to see that in our lives now, that the world is becoming darker and darker. And so it is even more important that God's people be that incredible city on a hill, lighting up this world. So what the quote is saying is, it is not up to me, it is not up to you to transform the hearts of people. It is for God, through his church, to reveal his character, to reveal his power to transform hearts. What powerful message it is then to let people know that God has transformed you, because then they realize the gospel is not just a nice messages and some principles that you can apply if you want to, but they can see the power of God's gospel in your life. Because right now, as this ecumenical movement is going on, they're just taking nice quotes from scripture, nice principles there, and just throw it in with all these other things from communism, Confucianism or Buddhism or other religion. It's just another of these nice quotes. But when they see God's church and the change that that words of God has in their lives, they're like, oh no, that can't be with everything else. That is completely different and unique. Another quote from Acts of the Apostles, paragraph 13. It says, from the beginning, God has wrought through his people to bring blessing to the world. To the ancient Egyptian nation, God made Joseph a fountain of life. Through the integrity of Joseph, the life of that whole people was preserved. Through Daniel, God saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon. And these deliverances are as object lessons. I mean, if you think back of what happened with Daniel, I mean, why would he want to save them? We see how they mistreated him afterwards, but yet it had none to do with Daniel. It had everything to do with God. And he even saved them for the purpose so that they have a chance to accept God in their lives. It says, they illustrate the spiritual blessings offered to the world through the connection with the God whom Joseph and Daniel worship. Everyone in whose heart Christ abides, everyone who will show forth his love to the world, is a worker together with God for the blessing of humanity. As he receives from the Savior grace to impart to others, from his whole being flows forth the tide of spiritual life. God isn't just, because he can do it on his own, but he wants us to work with him and collaborating with him to reach the life of others. The work of God, what it does in our hearts is to be a blessing to everyone around us. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not talking here about salvation. You all are saved. I'm talking here about the transformation power that God needs to be doing in our lives, sanctification process that needs to be going on in our lives. There are times because of our fallen routine in our lives, we're fine and comfortable where we are, but we need to allow God to continue to transform our lives every day. So what is he doing to us through good works? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A lot of times, we may not want to hear people talk about perfection, but God wants to make us perfect. It is him who makes that possible in our lives. And God can and will make his people perfect before he returns. Some of you who may be listening may be thinking, why me? Why? Who am I that God would want to bless others through me? When thinking of those whom God called to his service in Scripture, we find of all ages, of all genders, with or without education, with or without prestige or any kind of title, God used people of throughout all walks of life. Notice what how God chose his disciples. It says, for the carrying on of his work, Christ did not choose the learning or the eloquence of the Jewish Sanhedrin or the power of Rome. Passing by the self-righteous Jewish teachers, the master worker chose humble, unlearned men to proclaim the truth that were to move the world. These men he purposed to train and educate as the leaders of his church, that they in turn were to educate others and send them out with the gospel message, that they might have success in their work. They were to be given the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by human might or human wisdom was the gospel to be proclaimed, but by the power of God. Remember, Jesus didn't just spoke to them about the gospel. He taught them. Meaning, what Christ taught them transformed their lives from within. He didn't just tell them, I'm just sit there, I'm just going to teach you about the gospel and use some kind of board or the sand of the floor. But he showed them through his life. From transforming them from a selfish and pride heart to a generous and humble heart. Christ's character being manifested in their lives, and when they in turn taught others the gospel, people didn't just hear it, they saw it. The character of Christ lived in our character, an inward experience in our lives on a regular basis. It's a quote from Elder Ted Wilson. We must every day be collaborating with the Lord as he is transforming our hearts and our minds. That should be also be expressed in what we do. So then what are we to do? It is not to make a New Year's resolution. It is to live the gospel today in our lives, making the gospel, God's character, a part of who we are. That is our identity. Not the things of this world, but Christ's character. But first, we must understand our condition. We must acknowledge where we are at this point. Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 to 17 mentions our condition and that we are lukewarm. We think we're fine. I know the truth. I attend church, give donations, yet fail to truly understand our situation. Jesus tells us at the end of verse 17 in Revelation chapter 3, And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. We are blind to see our works are lukewarm, and we miss who we truly are. And do you know what we really miss? It says it in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Amen. We're missing Christ in our lives, and most importantly, in our hearts. I'm not talking about having, you know, Christian posters in our walls or having our bookshelves filled with all these Christian and Ellen White books and all these different versions of the Bible. Which that's great that we have that, or our DVD collections of amazing Bible documentaries and movies, but a genuine and close relationship with God today, this Sabbath, better yet, this particular moment. It is the best time to reestablish a relationship with God. A lot of times we postpone it. You know, I'm working right now, or I'm busy doing my chores at home later. Well, why not include God in your chores? Why not include God in our work? Why not include God in our routine? Asking him for helping us make those decisions in our lives. Incorporating him more in our lives so that we can better reflect who he is. Because as we incorporate him more in our lives, we have him more in our minds, it impacts our decisions. It impacts the actions and the things that we do. And without realizing, people will notice. Say, there's something different about you. I didn't notice before. Something unique. The way you're speaking is different than everyone else talks. I can talk to you. I can spend time. It's just being with you. The world says this aura, or you have a certain energy. People talk about that. They will say, oh, you have certain energy. They just want to spend time with you. And here's your chance. You don't have to be, let me start with the fundamentals, but through our lives and our conduct, we can share the gospel message with others. Our routine in our daily lives needs to be spiced up with Jesus Christ. Less focus on me and more focus on Jesus. Brethren, we are part of God's church. And as members of His church, we have a purpose and a message, and truly an identity. The world has an identity crisis. That's why we see people identifying all sorts of different ways. There is an identity crisis in people's lives, and we have it through Jesus Christ. So let's make today the day we connect and collaborate with God. Today and every day, moment by moment. As God's appointed agency, we are to collaborate with Him for the salvation of men, reflecting to the world His fullness and His sufficiency. Remember, He has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light to show forth His glory and the final and full display of His true love. Will you join me today? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that we have a lot of things have happened this year, but we're thankful, Lord, that You carried us through. Help us that in this moment, we don't just make the commitment to reconnect with You, Lord, but help us to make those actions in our lives to be connected with You every day, every moment of our lives. The new year is about to start, and who knows what will take place. There's a lot of things happening that can go either direction. But Lord, You have given us Jesus Christ in our lives. And regardless of what's going on in the world, we can have peace in our hearts. Regardless how the world may treat us and Your people, we can have peace and assurance and hope in our lives that we can bring to this world. As the world gets darker, help us, Lord, that we continue to be a light to this world, that we can be identified through Your character, and that the world may truly know who You are through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.